Welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And today with us, we have Catherine LeDuc and Jake Tinkler Josephi with us. Sorry, Jake, I almost messed up your name just like I knew I would.
It's okay. I'm used to it by now.
Okay, so tonight we have in a couple, somewhat as a bit of a comparison or a contrast. We had a couple in last week.
That's right.
Trent and Sandra from Atlas. And we thought it would be great to have this well-seasoned couple that had been firmly entrenched in the Valley for the last 20 years. Yeah. And they gave us their take on restauranteuring and being part of the community and what have you, being involved in food. And we just thought it would be great to have a couple that's newer to the Valley, just sort of firm, setting their roots down and how you are approaching food in the Valley and where you're coming from. So maybe we should touch a bit on pedigree or where you came from.
Well, I'm going to say this is something that you can look back on 20 years from now and be like, yeah. Do you have the same feelings?
Yeah. And of course, I just mean where did your food journey start? Like, where did you first get into food? Let's start with you, Jake.
I first got into food, I guess it would have been in Whistler.
Right.
It just started out as a dishwashing position. So yeah. I could ride my bike in the bike park all day. And then
nice.
I worked at night.
Sucker.
And honestly, it was seeing the guys make mayonnaise is what turned me on to food. I just thought mayonnaise came in a jar. And from there, it just kind of, you know, domino affected. So I worked in Whistler for a bit, and then I went back to Thunder Bay, where I'm from.
Right.
Went to my culinary management, and I did my apprenticeships there. And then, yeah, I was back out west. I fell in love with the mountains.
And nice.
Yeah, I just had to get back out here.
Right.
So for the Valley, yeah, Victoria. I was there for the last 5 years.
Right.
And it was just time to kind of settle down and there's a big opportunity for food in the Valley. And
right.
That's why we moved up here.
Right. And when you first came to the Valley, you went to Kingfisher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm currently there, just in process of switching over.
Right.
I'm going to Toscano's restaurant.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Kingfisher landed there with open arms and it's been great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And Kat? As we refer to you as Kat, Catherine. Kat, you are also, you sort of picked up in, you started in the food industry in Victoria?
Yeah, in Victoria. I was working at a little Italian restaurant that was really amazing. It was like a little deli. They sold like olive oils and really awesome salads. And so I kind of fell in love with food there. And I was actually going to design school at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And just needed serving jobs for money.
Right.
And after that, I worked at a little German place that was also really great. And we got up all dressed up in our dirndl and everything and sold beer and boots and the whole thing.
Wow.
And then after that, I started working at a breakfast restaurant.
Right.
And one of the busiest ones in Victoria and just kind of ended up loving it. And ended up being manager there and staying there for quite some time. And that's, yeah.
Yeah. No, I noticed too, like, and since you've been in the Valley, you've been at Atlas and you're making a transition right now as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming to Toscano's as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake and I are both going to Toscano's pretty soon here.
Wow. And I got to say, I don't know if this is a compliment or vice versa, but you remind me a lot of me because I was very young when I started managing restaurants.
Yeah.
I was 23 when I got the first job as manager. And so it was such an uphill battle. I mean, I had a leg up on everybody because I had energy, whereas other people didn't, but nobody took me seriously. And they didn't believe that I could have a body of knowledge to run a restaurant or a club or whatever at a young age. And it just comes over time. But I mean, I remember you coming in and there and being introduced as possible future management. I was like, huh, she's young, but I bet you anything, you know, like that they've made a right choice here. Like I'm going to watch and see how this develops. But yeah, you remind me, I'm just saying it just watching you move forward. It definitely reminds me of myself too.
Yeah, so, I can work hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
That generally puts you up there quickly.
Yeah, for sure. So what have, like, as a couple in food, what have you, how do I put this? I've had a lot of relationships in and outside of the food industry. Rarely, though, do the relationships move forward together. Right now, yours seems to be doing that. Yeah. And that's obviously by design. Is that of like a path that you're going to follow? Is that something that you're looking forward to? Is that something that you're trying to forge?
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. Yes. For sure.
Yeah. What are your end goals? What's the idea?
End goals. Well, ideally, you know, we'll own our own restaurant
right
in the Valley and just, you know, serve super fresh, good, healthy food that we've, you know, pretty much gathered from around the Valley.
Right.
And, but yeah, the goal is to have our own restaurant and I'll run the back and cattle run the front.
Right.
Yeah. And kind of raise our family.
Yeah.
As well at the same time.
Wow. what you can't see is Jake's utter shock of being announced. There's going to be a family involved.
But no, it just kind of worked out that way. Like, I was going towards design and then randomly just started falling in love with food.
Right.
And then soon after fell in love with Jake. And then it was just like domino effect from there.
Right.
Yeah, and she's got like a relentless energy for food. I'll come home from work just, you know, very tired. And she'll have like 10 tabs on the computer and like showing me all these new recipes. It's like, oh, God. I can't.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a good team to have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I've never had a really strong, sort of committed partner that was into food.
Okay.
All my like long-term relationships were all they were all with women that really didn't have much interest in food, which is the weirdest thing because it always featured so prominently for me, but not for them. Big. And it's really hard to not have that play, you know, when something features prominently.
Yeah.
You need to have that
especially
mutual interest.
Like food. It's a good thing to get excited about, and it's a great thing to share with people too.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
part of the beauty of food is the experience of sharing it.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, definitely.
You're when all
I
was excited about a fig, you know, and this is the best thing. And
some
people are looking at you. Like, well.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So. No, and that was just.
I want to learn more about this fig.
Let's talk more of these figs.
They're so good.
Actually, Tori, my brother, was just showing me last night. He's so excited. Funny enough about his fig tree. He last year he got zero figs from it, but it was because the previous year they had just bought the place.
Okay.
And they trimmed it right back. It was this big unruly tree. So he got nothing off it last year. But this year they you know, they've talked to a lot of people and they're probably gonna get about 150 figs off it. And he's ecstatic. Goodness. He's just like, I can't wait. You know?
I think I know where he lives too.
He might not get any.
Yeah. Right. I wander over in the middle
of
the night.
I think you need to make friends with this story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I mean, I grew up in a restaurant and as a young kid and that transition when we got out of the restaurant, my mom did an insane amount of hosting. We had guests over every weekend for dinner as my entire life. I've never not, you know, in my entire childhood, we had people over for dinner every weekend. And that to me is what food is about. Food is about, you go out there, you learn about it, you grow it, you pick it, you harvest it, you find it, and then you share it.
Yeah.
Like that's what Absolutely. It is. That's the whole thing. That's more than just what food's about. Like that's like what life's about, you know? So yeah, I'm totally envious of you guys doing that together.
So I'd like to know what drove you guys to come up here and not say stay in Victoria and open a restaurant down there.
Oh, the market was just saturated there. Like there are so many wonderful little places. And
right.
Also, it's way more expensive. And we knew that we wanted to eventually be in a small town.
Right.
Yeah. And we knew we wanted to raise kids in a small town. And we knew we had to make the move sooner or later. So last year we just went for it randomly.
Yeah, we kind of dove in head first.
And
so did you just pull a name out of a hat or was there some...
There was a little bit of research. Like we were looking into the Sunshine Coast a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then I honestly don't even know where Courtney came from. But I was just agreed. You know, her dad lives in Campbell River. So we'd commute back and forth. And I was like, sure. We had a few mutual friends here who, you know, spoke highly of the Valley. So it just kind of made sense.
Right.
It came out of nowhere, but it made sense. And it's been a great move, you know.
Yeah.
Like Kat was saying, it's kind of hard to carve a name for yourself in Victoria because there's so many good restaurants and everyone seems to be doing everything. And,
right.
There's nothing new to be done down there.
No, and everyone's doing it so well.
Yeah.
So, you know, not that we're scared of the competition, but it was a welcome change to come here because the energy's here. People are really excited about food. And
yeah.
You can kind of, there's like an uprising of a food culture here. Where
right. Yeah, we're definitely in the inception of it. Like yeah. a lot of people would say, oh, you know, it's alive and thriving and strong. And I'm looking at it from the back and saying, no, it's about to explode. Oh, it's just starting sure. and it's about to explode.
Exactly.
It's going to be crazy.
We came at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And what, you know, if we were talking about hypotheticals, you know, talking about what sort of, like, what's inspired you? Like, what have you decided now that you're here? Now that you know, I mean, of course, you've got a bit of a career move right now ahead of you. Yeah. But now that you're here, what do you guys envision? What do you think the Valley, like, what do you want to do here with food? Do you have it that thought out yet? Do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got it thought out. Oh, you got it. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I want to let the cat out of the bag. Exactly. I don't want to know how in depth
I don't know, but okay, so but you've got a plan. Like
100%, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
wow. We have a very clear vision of what we want to accomplish here.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So, you know, this opportunity just arose for us, and
right.
You know, so we're going to take it, and it'll be great training, and it'll
right.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity. So we
that's fantastic.
Know, took it, but we definitely have a common clear goal of what we want to accomplish. Well, together,
that's good. So. That's good. Because like I said, right now we're talking with a lot of restaurateurs lately, and although that's not necessarily the premise of the show. You know, we're just sort of trying to get that rounded look at, you know, we've talked to a lot of the veterans and we want to talk to the people that are coming to it fresh faced or from out of town. And you sort of happen to fit both those bills. John and I have talked about it at length too, that, we can see a new food something happening. I mean, we're not going to call it a revolution. I'm not going to call anything in particular, but something is about to happen in food in this town. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting to be at the ground level because I just think there's a lot of people, a lot of talented people, or a lot of people refining and rehoning their talents are all starting to talk about things. And I know that when we went to the opening of the White Whale, I know Max and Aaron, as does John, as do a lot of us. We knew them both very well before this venture. And I said to them, if anybody's going to make this happen, it's you guys. And it's right now, you know, nobody else is going to be able to pull this off except for you two at this moment.
Yeah.
And they, you know, we talked about that a bit after. And I said, I would have loved to have been the catalyst because I had a place that everybody came to at one point.
Yeah.
But that was 6-7 years ago. And I think that, honestly, I think that they're the catalyst. A lot of people relate to them and a lot of people are getting inspired by them. And I see a lot of people that would normally like, I would love to do that, but there's no way. And they're watching Max and Aaron make it work. And they're like, well, wait a minute, if they can make that work, we can make that work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what I'm starting to see now. It's really exciting.
It is. And they've created a good relationship with a lot of people in town.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, and you see all the breweries popping up now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's starting to become a thing here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm hoping that downtown gets revitalized a little
bit.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. We were like, if we could have our druthers, you know, if we were city planners, if we were the guys on council that were making all the moves, I would like to see how Fifth Street is falling apart. And I don't mean any disrespect to any of the people that have been able to maintain their businesses in the face of this economy on Fifth Street. But Fifth Street used to be the epicenter of the Valley. And now it's sort of an afterthought. And there's all these vacant buildings, empty spots. And, you know, we've talked about it. I think that if all of these great energetic friends of ours that have all these ambitions in food could locate themselves in these now more affordable Fifth Street locations, it would just, you can create this hub, right? You can create this center of food for the Valley. You get to repurpose what was our downtown core and give it relevance. But you also can turn, I mean, I know this again from having the nightclub, from having various establishments running various places. If you give people a reason to go to an area, everything just sort of happens.
Okay.
You know, but if they have to go out of their way to go to you, it's a harder commitment for them to make. But if you have this little cluster of things going on, it doesn't matter. They know they'll just end up enjoying themselves somewhere in that cluster, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. I would love to see some of these new businesses going in on Fifth Street. Now, having said that, even if I've motivated absolutely every learner or listener that we have, it's going to be 2, 3, 4 years before all those places could actually do that.
Yeah.
I know that we haven't, but even I have ambitions, and I'm not. I already said I'm done with food. Like I'm not. I'm not.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. But even I. I mean, I have designs in mind of a place that I would put on Fifth Street in a heartbeat. I just have to wait it out another couple of years, mostly for a non-disclosure. I have a non-compete clause with the current business down there. I can't open another licensed establishment for 10 years, which we're at year 7. So, I'm just saying, in 3 years, I'm allowed to actually open another establishment. So we'll see then. But I mean, I've gotten really excited about things since then. And I love seeing other people that are getting excited about food here too. So, yeah, I mean, and the only reason I brought up the whole Fifth Street thing is I remember Kat and I having a really off the cuff conversation. And I said, you know what you should really do? You know, ideally, you know, you guys have that energy and that everything, you know, you should bring that down to Fifth Street. And she's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the plan.
We're trying to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I agree with you. I think it'd be wonderful to have just it bumping, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doors especially open, music and playing, you know, in the summer. Just
I know. And then they talked about just the other day, they're putting forth a motion to shut down, what is it, Duncan Street between 4th and 6th Street. So there'll be no more foot traffic, and it'll just be a walking path. And so, like, that's the beginning of turning
car traffic.
Car traffic. It's like, no just foot traffic.
Okay. I want to walk.
And so we're talking, the downtown core can start to become more of a...
That's so cool.
More like, almost like Granville, you know? Exactly, or getting inspired by that, Granville Island, you know? Like, that where the majority of the path of the traffic is all foot traffic. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see where food is going, you know? And, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, where do you guys want to see food go in this town?
Just more of it.
More of it. just a bit of a change from place to place.
Do you find there to be repetition, or do you mean, do you find it?
Yeah and no. It just seems like a generic, you know, like I'll go and get a coffee and, you know, my options for a food accompaniment is, you know, a muffin
or
a bagel. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with either of those things, but it would be a little more exciting if there was another option or, you know, that's just one example. But
it just seems a little stuck in the past, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which is part and parcel of the small town, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's what you're going to find in small towns, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll get some new little places, some little bit of modern stuff.
I agree to a certain amount, too. I find that... and this is part of what I think is coming with that food explosion, is I find that a lot of people do really safe menus.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're worried about not appealing to everybody. But I think that the whole mentality of if you specialize in something, you're going to draw a devout following as well as say, a special or a non-specialized restaurant. And I think that people are just starting to grasp that here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that that's really been a thing here. Of course, we've had Tita's. We've had a couple of places that were, you know, outwardly like we specialize in this, but I think it's going to get even further than that. You know, you're going to start to see restaurants specialize even deeper, not just saying, well, we're a Mexican restaurant. It'll be like, well, we're a taco place. Like, that's it. We do tacos, or, you know, as an example, or we'll see like not just a curry place open, but one that's just specializing in dolls, you know, like you get specialized into that. And I think that that's what I see happening soon in the Valley, is people being very specialized, but doing something incredibly amazingly well, even though that's just their small bag of tricks, you know? Mm. So I'm hoping that that comes, and because then I think that the more you see of that, the more room there is for lots of places. Yeah. If everybody's doing all the same thing, there's not that much room for anybody.
No, and there are a lot of young people moving here.
Yeah.
And moving here from the cities where they have a lot of options. So they're going to either be opening these places or be eating at these places. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Exactly. Well,
it's true.
And that's what I find. It's that slippery slope that a lot of restaurants get into is that they want to have everything. They want to please everyone that comes in their door.
Right, which you can never do.
You put everything on your menu.
Yeah. Right.
But then the poor cook in the back has to... He only sells one of one thing once a week.
Right.
So he's got to have it there. So he's either throwing it out every second day or it's stuck in the freezer.
Yeah.
And so when they come in, you're running up there and you're chiseling off this work of whatever it is that this person wants.
Yeah.
Instead of there's having that fresh ingredient.
That's, exactly. And there's exactly like that's the key is that there's no way they can deliver that with that quality.
Yeah.
So, right. Well, that's, I think we've solved all of the Comox Valley's problems.
Well, I guess it's up to you guys now to go and make it happen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, we just got to be the spark.
Yeah. So I'm curious too. I mean, I've talked to, you know, I have friends elsewhere and talked to other places going, doing a couple of things in the Valley. You say that you feel there's lots of people coming to the Valley right now, the younger, like a younger crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've honestly not noticed, but then I've been pretty focused on what I'm doing over the last little while. So I haven't really lifted my head up to see what's going on. What with, doing the podcast and working full time and a couple other small businesses on the side. So I haven't really been paying attention to that landscape, but you feel that there's a lot coming in?
Yeah. We even have a handful of friends who've come from the city, like even that. And then we've met a few people too. Wow. Coming from Vancouver, from Victoria.
Right.
Calgary.
Wow. That's great. I think it gives me a little bit of hope for what's coming up.
There you go.
Unless there's anything else that you guys wanted to talk about.
No. We're good.
you guys are so tight-lipped about everything. You guys have like a million things to talk about, but you're keeping back. I can see. We'll have to have you on in a show in a little while.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. But thanks for coming in.
Thanks
for sitting in. And we'll have to come out to Toscana's. When's the official date?
Jake starts in a week and a half.
The 15th, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm in there pretty quick.
And I'll probably be there in a few weeks, I guess.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, is anything changing there the first little bit? Or is there going to be sort of...
There'll be some changes for sure. I'm going to try and just kind of take it all in at first and get my bearings and, you know... Get my brigade together, and then come summer there'll be some changes. And
wonderful,
you know, I'm pretty excited, like I was saying, for the fresh ingredients. And I'm just really excited to kind of give it a facelift and just
needs to be freshened up for sure.
It's a neat spot.
It is.
Yeah, you got it's a killer location. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the Comox Glacier right there. It's a great spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, I've been there. It's been there for years, and I've been there. I used to go there a lot more often. And I think I'm the only person that's ever gone there and never ordered a pasta dish. I've always gone in and ordered.
Is there anything else on the menu?
How'd
you
even do that? I don't know now, but I haven't been there for the last few years. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's great. Especially now that John and I just did an Italian menu for a private party just the other day.
I saw the pictures. It looked pretty good. Yeah, it looked good.
I'm excited to see if... you know, just which way you're going to take Italian this in that restaurant.
Yeah, if you have any tips, just.
She'll have to come down. Yeah, check it all out.
Secretive.
Okay. Okay, well, Kat and Jake, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been great.
Okay.
All right, and you've been listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Check out our podcast at ediblevalley.com. Or send us your responses, questions, and emails to ediblevalley@gmail.com.